Are you tired of selling a kidney for a laptop? You need to take notes in your family WhatsApp group without your boss thinking you're not working? Tired of explaining something when you could just draw it and share it? How about that backend? Is it heavy laptop related? Let the Mesa Fundi come to your rescue. Hashtag freedom with Fundi. Attach Microsoft Office for the ultimate experience. Make the shift and upgrade to the Mesa Fundi with Windows 10 Professional. The Mesa Fundi, flexibility reimagined. Available online and in store at all leading retailers. Mesa recommends Windows 10 Professional.
When life gets harder, you get smarter. You don't mission, you level up like a boss. Connect Vox Fiber to your home, starting from 554 Rand per month. Level up your experience with Airtime's Wi-Fi boosters, Vobi voice app calling, Office 365, and over 160 other products to enhance your lifestyle. Live smart, level up with Vox. Visit vox.co.za to view our range. T's and C's apply.
This is Tech Central, and I'm Duncan MacLeod. I'm pleased now to welcome Kim Reed, the CEO of Takealot.com, to the show. Kim, good to see you, even though it's over a video call. How are you guys coping through the lockdown?
Thanks for having me on the show, Duncan. Look, it's a tough time. I think it's a tough time for everyone. We've got some challenges.
How are you coping with them?
So I think there's a lot of frustration in the business right now, because if you look at what's happened elsewhere in the world, especially when it comes to e-commerce has pretty much largely been trading at full throttle at this time. So if you look at Wuhan, in the height of the pandemic, the government actually went to the likes of Meituan, Alibaba, and JD.com and encouraged them to deliver into Wuhan. Yes. If you look at New York right now, largely Amazon is operational. They've restricted some goods, largely because of demand more than anything else, but they're able to deliver whatever they want to into anybody's home. Food delivery continues. Look at the UK is pretty much operational as normal as far as e-commerce is concerned. And I think the real frustration for us right now is that first of all, I think the government's done a fantastic job. They've reacted very quickly and they've locked things down, and kudos to them for that. But they haven't really looked at what I would call the assets in the environment that could make a resident of South Africa's life easier right now. They've gone down the lines of looking at essential goods, and I understand why they've done that. If I kind of read between the lines of the spirit of the Gazette as it's come out, what they're trying to do is they're trying to increase social distancing, which is obviously what we all have to do. And therefore they've gone and looked at essential goods versus non-essential goods, and they've said, right, you can basically, if you're an essential goods provider, you can basically sell those essential goods. So, if you look at it, what are they trying to do? They're trying to say, okay, fine, only grocery stores are really allowed to stay open because they don't want people rushing into malls at this time and having social distancing problems. What they haven't done, however, is step back from this and said, okay, fine, how do we actually allow the country to operate in as normal a fashion as it possibly can by using the assets that we have?
Yeah.
And we believe e-commerce is one of those assets, because e-commerce is a system that effectively allows for social distancing. It encourages social distancing. And you don't have to then say, well, you have essential and non-essential goods. You can say to e-commerce players, right, you guys carry on. We'll limit essential goods to the grocery stores and the physical stores because we're worried about social distancing. But you guys carry on because that line between essential and non-essential is so blurred today.
Yes.
Day 18 today.
19, I think.
It's 19. I lost track of time. So as we go on, that line blurs. If you have a look at students right now, students have to study online. They need devices. They may have had devices that were not as functional as they thought they were at this time because, technology's moved on, and maybe they need new devices. Maybe they never had a device and they need to buy a device to actually continue learning. If you look at, Mrs. Pochenbull, who's in her home today and she's a widower and her microwave blows up, okay? It's the only way of actually cooking her food or warming her food. She can't go and buy a microwave. You know, the fridge goes on the fritz. Can't go and buy a fridge. Now, it sounds self-serving, but it's not self-serving. It's actually just pragmatic. Why has the rest of the world allowed e-commerce and food delivery to continue? Because it is a system that allows for that social distancing. So if you look at an e-commerce transaction or even a food transaction for that matter, a food delivery transaction, you pay for it in a contactless environment, on your mobile phone or over a computer. The goods are delivered to you. I've just had a takeout delivery of essential goods right now, some cleaning equipment and other things that I've had to get used to lately. And, you know, perfect delivery. So the guy takes the stuff out the back of his van. He pops it on the curb, waves to me. He sprays it down with sanitizer. He's got a mask on. Okay, he steps away. I take the stuff back inside. He ticks it off on his device. I don't have to sign for it. And the transaction's done. You know, there's at most a one-on-one contact ratio in this environment. If you look at food delivery, it's exactly the same. You'll purchase food. The guy will come and deliver it. He's got a sanitized hot bag that he's put the food in. He comes to your door. He pops it down in front of you, walks away from it. You know, the bag is open when he's opened it. It's ready for you. You take your stuff out. He comes and picks up the hot bag and off he goes. Contactless environment. It's a simple solution to a problem that everyone is facing right now. If you have old people in their homes right now who don't want to go to the grocery store, they want to have cooked food. A great example the other night someone said to me was, have a look at the health workers and essential workers. Okay, they get home after a heck of a day, you know, stress and tired. They don't want to cook. Mm. They can't even order fast food or any type of food for that matter. They have to have gone to the grocery store. In fact, in their case, somebody would have had to have gone to the grocery store for them during their day to go and buy food for them. So it's a solution that is there, which is just not being used at the moment. So that for us is very frustrating at this time.
I agree with you 100%. I mean, it's crazy that e-commerce isn't allowed to continue during this period. Have you had any discussions with government about opening this up? And if you have, how have those conversations gone?
So it's a very difficult time for government, I think, right now, because they've got 101 priorities that they're trying to organize. And I think maybe what's happening is that we're being lost in the weeds because, you know, e-commerce is maybe not as progressed as it is in other markets. That still doesn't mean that it's not an asset that they can use and should use. So we've been lobbying, and in fact, we started lobbying on pretty much the lockdown began on the Thursday. It took us at least 3 or 4 days to figure out what it meant for us and what we could or could not do. At that stage, we shut down Superbless, so Superbless couldn't trade at all. Mr. D Food at that stage couldn't trade at all because restaurant kitchens were closed. And to take a lot, we took the weekend, and our guys did a fantastic job in reconfiguring take a lot so that you can actually find essential goods on the site. And now we, you know, a completely essential goods provider. So we've been lobbying nonstop since that time. I've never had to lobby as hard as this in this type of environment, but it's difficult because you're not really getting the ear of the government minister necessarily. They have other priorities. And frankly, right now, we've had various contacts with different ministers where we actually thought, great, we've made a breakthrough. This is going to happen, only to be disappointed. So, we're waiting, in anticipation right now for some replies from ministers, on exactly these issues. And, you know, I think that government needs to start considering the fact that, e-commerce may be a small part of this market, but it is a way to start getting the economy going as well, because you've got sellers who are sitting on the Takealot platform as well, who can sell non-essential goods, which are sitting in our warehouse right now. We can deliver them. You know, it's daft. It really is. It's almost inconceivable that we can't get this message across right now.
Do you think, should there be any restrictions at all on e-commerce deliveries? Are there any products that, in your view, should be excluded, or should it be completely open?
Look, you know, as soon as you start trying to regulate these type of things, it becomes such a quagmire of difficult decisions. So, again, what is essential? So let's have a look. So you say, okay, fine, only essential goods. Then you have this, the small population of essential goods that we have today. Then you say, okay, fine, we're going to make it slightly wider. We'll allow telecommunication goods. Okay. So telecommunication goods, allows mobile phones, but, I can watch, or I can use my, as we're doing right now, I can use my computer to do this. Is a laptop telecommunication good or not? Okay. Don't know. It's in the gray. We've decided to stay away from selling laptops. Mm. You just keep on going through all these things. So again, let's just look at the what we're trying to achieve. We're trying to achieve social distancing. So in order to achieve social distancing, okay, what do you need to do? You need to make sure that you limit the amount of people going into physical retail because that's a contact point. Mm-hmm. Okay. You don't have that in e-commerce. So why go through the trouble of now trying to stop e-commerce providers actually not delivering certain things? If people want a pair of socks, they need a pair of socks. I mean, it is what it is. If they can do it in a contactless environment and keep the economy ticking along as well, why not?
Yes. Do you think, Kim, there's a possibility that there's going to be a fundamental change in e-commerce in South Africa? We've lagged the developed world, and that our percentage of retail sales on the internet is significantly below places like Europe and the US. Assuming there is some sort of relaxation of the rules around e-commerce, and assuming that people will be able to buy goods and services online soon, do you think there's going to be a permanent step change higher in e-commerce as a result of this?
Look, we always look at this and we say we're growing at a really nice compounded growth rate on an annual basis. So we always see that e-commerce grows and grows, and it's growing at a very healthy rate if you compare it to the rest of the world. Some would say actually slightly faster in South Africa than some parts of the rest of the world where it's slightly more mature. So that happens in any event. Will there be a step change? I think there is going to be a difference in the consumer's mind coming out of this COVID-19 stuff, because after lockdown, they can't open the environment completely. Social distancing, I think, is going to remain a norm for a while. Mm-hmm. Human beings are interesting people or interesting beings, in that they forget quite easily when things go back to normal. But if you look at other markets in the world, like China, e-commerce is largely now seen to be almost a social service.
Yes.
In that, it's delivering more and more because people don't necessarily, they're a little bit timid to go outside right now. And they, slightly less inclined to go to a restaurant or something like that where there's a gathering of people. So I think there is an opportunity for it to grow and grow fast in this country as we come out of this. Yes, but it's, that's something that I think we're all in the depth of this particular lockdown right now. So, my foresight is not quite out there at the moment.
Sure, but I imagine that social distancing is something that's going to be with us, not for just for this lockdown, but well beyond it, possibly for a period of years. And I was reading a report this morning suggesting there could be waves of COVID-19 up until possibly 2025. So that would seem to suggest that there's going to be this need for distancing for the foreseeable future, and that's probably going to drive e-commerce demand.
I suppose there are a whole lot of factors that need to be considered in this. The vaccines, when the vaccine will come out, is one of the things that's going to have to be considered in all of this. So it's very difficult to tell what human behavior is going to be like coming out of lockdown. And then, as time goes on, is it going to change certain things? I think it will change things, but I don't think, again, people have short memories. So I think when things start relaxing again, people will go back to normal. But I think, look, e-commerce for us is always here to stay. E-commerce has never been it's never been one of those things that's at the poles. It's not going to take over the world, okay? It's not going to be zero. It's going to be a part of the fabric of society for years to come. And where that actually lands in South Africa is be an interesting thing to see. I think that just naturally it will grow. This, I believe, will probably accelerate growth to some extent, yes.
Yeah. It'd be interesting to see what happens if the rules are relaxed and e-commerce is allowed unfettered in South Africa during the rest of the lockdown, because I imagine there are companies that are extremely well positioned for a boom in e-commerce. Takealot obviously is one of them, whereas maybe some others, probably amongst the traditional retailers, are not so tuned to this. They haven't got their e-commerce strategies as well finely tuned, if they have e-commerce strategies at all. It'd be interesting to see how the dynamics of the market change and how market share shifts if there is a relaxation of the rules.
Yeah, it will be a very interesting environment coming out of this. I think that the actual market shift is going to depend on a whole lot of things, because, you know, what's going to happen if they had to open us up tomorrow and say, right, trade as you normally would, I think we would see quite a lot of traffic. But then, you know, supply issues are going to become problematic down the line. It's happened with Amazon as well. Amazon has more supply issue than a demand issue right now, because they just can't get certain supplies. So, you know, that growth spurt will be, I think, temporary, and then it'll settle down again until supply normalizes. And supply is going to be the next problem that everyone's going to face.
Yeah. Are you able to ramp up immediately if the president announces tomorrow, for example, that the restrictions are lifted? How quickly can Takealot be back up to full capacity?
Yeah, so we're at the ready all the time, and what we've done, thanks to our shareholders as well, is that we've taken a policy decision not to get rid of people, so not to ramp down staff. We're paying all of our staff right now. We're trying to mitigate the losses as best we can, and we don't know how long we'll be able to continue this type of scenario for. But what we're trying to look at this and say, look, we've got existing staff in place. You know, they're great people. They've done a fantastic job to date. We want to be circumspect as to how we treat them in this time, because we want to be a good employer going forward. So we're doing that. That allows us to be able to ramp up pretty quickly if we're required to do so.
Yeah. You mentioned you retooled your website. You've been selling essential products through the website. Took you, what, 4 days to bring it back up again after the lockdown started?
Yeah, it took us a little while. There was a lot of confusion. First of all, to be perfectly honest, we didn't know what we could and what we couldn't do, and trying to get lists of products together and all that type of stuff. I mean, one of the complicated things in this is that you either leave the site as is and let people try and find essential goods, which becomes more of an Easter egg hunt, which is what we didn't want.
Yes.
Or we look at delisting all of the non-essential goods and then, you know, try and get them up. And then strangely enough, all the categories didn't make sense. And our engineering folk did a fantastic job. Engineering product guys did a fantastic job in sorting that out in a very short space of time. So it took roughly about two and a half days to actually do that. The rest of the time was us figuring out, hey, what does this mean? You know, how there's a lot of, you know, one of the challenges we had is the lockdown happened suddenly. Okay. There were products in flight. So can you deliver those products or not, because they're non-essentials? We decided we couldn't deliver them. So many customers were quite disappointed with us at that time. And in fact, still are. And all we can say is we apologize for that, but it really is out of our hands. We can't deliver non-essential goods right now. You know, we've had trucks stopped where they've been searched, and we had an argument with one set of officials around whether something was essential or non-essential. You know, the truck was impounded. We had to send people out to try and get it out, and it was all sorted out in the end. But those are the types of things that we're experiencing on a day-to-day basis. We also be worried about our staff, because we've got drivers out there who are in vehicles, and we definitely don't want, you know, heavy-handed police doing something to them while they're out on the road, because we're trying to sell something which is, you know, in the gray. So that was one of the challenges as well. I was just trying to figure out the operational side of things. So we just sat down and said, right, okay, we're stopping this right now. Let's kill everything. We stopped all the selling of items on site, so you couldn't check out. And then we got our ducks in a row. And I think we still have a little bit of customer pushback, where people are unhappy because, you know, there's a box and now it's got an essential and a non-essential item. Now they're expecting us to unpack the box and figure out what's in the box. It's not a process we're going to go through right now. We've been canceling a lot of those orders as well.
Has retooling the website and have the volumes made sense, selling only essential goods through Takealot, to actually to justify doing what you've done?
Well, you know, if you take a decision that you're going to keep all staff on board, any revenue makes sense.
Okay.
Any sense that staff makes sense.
Sure.
So, you know, revenue's been decimated by up to 80-90%. That's really what's happened.
Good grief.
So it's come down. We've tried to, you know, we've become largely a face mask, a hand sanitizer business. It's quite interesting because hand sanitizer is difficult to get a hold of. So we've got some brands who give drops every now and again, and you just see the spike in revenue going up and down. So we watch those types of things. Strangely enough, we've started seeing searches for laptops, those types of things coming onto the sites, which shows there's demand for that. And you know, that also shows that there's people don't necessarily just go out and buy a laptop because they don't need one. It's an expensive good. They need the laptop. It's an essential good for them, but we can't sell those. So we see those types of things coming through. Cleaning products, all those type of things, health supplements, those things are all selling. And we've also done a lot of dry goods. So we've what's been good for us is that we were always nervous of the dry goods side of the business. It has AOV implications, all those types of things. So we've just said, look, run with it. Let's go. And we'll figure out the unit economics as this thing matures.
Yeah.
So when we come out of this, you know, we'll probably have a much better handle on consumables and dry goods as well.
Yeah. We saw in the States Amazon buying, I think it's called Whole Goods Market. Whole Foods Market, I beg your pardon. Is that a future direction you see Takealot potentially going in? I know it's got a lot of logistical challenges involved with it, but
We've stayed away from fresh. Fresh takes a lot of an understanding of that particular market and the supply chain, and it's something that we just aren't geared for. Mm-hmm. I think that we've got stacks of opportunity in the current market sector that we trade in. To worry about going into fresh where, you know, the likes of Massmart went into fresh. I don't think they were particularly successful in the games. And then in fact, I think they pulled all food out of the game, strangely enough, for most of it.
Yeah.
Checkers, Pick and Pay, Woolworths, they know what they're doing in the fresh markets and they do it very well. It's not to say that we won't go into it at some stage when we have the bandwidth and we have the appetite, the risk appetite. But right now, no, it's not something that we're considering.
Yeah. And how have sales of the non-perishable dry goods been going in the food space for you guys?
So they've been doing okay. I mean, you know, the consumable part of the business was high on the agenda. What we've also started doing now is selling mobile phones because we're allowed to because of the telecoms essential service, so we can do that, and obviously that has a higher average price point, so we're starting to see that come through as on a price band as a higher contributor, but we're doing okay, and when I say we're doing okay in the circumstances. We're obviously doing a heck of a lot more on the dry goods type of environment than we did before. And also makes sense because grocery stores are under pressure as well to deliver. You know, Checkers' delivery arm is got a very small footprint. And Pick and Pay and Woolworths, I think, are absolutely swamped right now. I think they struggle to keep up in normal times. This is extraordinary times. So they're struggling. So people are coming to us for those types of things. We've also done some interesting things around Mr. D Food, because essentially Mr. D Food was shut. You know, we've got 4,500 drivers in our driver network that also need to work, and we're down to utilizing 400 drivers right now. And we've actually put in a driver fund as well to provide these drivers with a minimum wage while they're not working. So we've done those types of initiatives. But Mr. D Food is now doing MediRite deliveries. They're doing prescription medicines for MediRite. They've plugged into some of the forecourts as well, so there's some delivery that's happening in there, and we're looking at all types of innovative ways to connect different players into that food delivery footprint as well.
Yeah. How sustainable are these? I mean, you're providing these minimum wages, these subsidies. How sustainable is this if there's a further extension to the lockdown with no relaxations on the rules around e-commerce? What is it going to mean for Takealot?
It's got to give at some stage. So can't continue for forever. So you know, right now we kind of have our sights set on starting to operate as we would normally do, you know, in May after the second lockdown. Mm-hmm. It could be, in my words, insane not to open up e-commerce at that time. You know, I can't see how any government cannot open e-commerce at that time to at least get, you know, part of the economy going. It's the simplest thing to switch on. So that's kind of where we aimed at. But if that changes, we'll have to, you know, reevaluate again and have another discussion with our shareholders as well.
Yeah. Let's leave it there, Kim. Let's hope things are returned to normal soon and that e-commerce is indeed opened up, because I agree with you. It makes no sense for these restrictions to be so onerous. And I think a lot of consumers are willing and able to make use of online shopping and should be able to do so in that it doesn't require consumers to visit stores and potentially contract COVID-19 or the novel coronavirus and potentially spread it. But Kim, thanks. Kim Reed is CEO of TakeLot.com. Thanks so much for talking to Tech Central today.
Great. Thanks, Nick. Thanks for your time and keep safe.